I got a prayer this morning for you, actually, from a pastor friend. It says, I pray today that the Holy Spirit abides in each and every person in your congregation, down to the very depths, the very core of their being, and that everyone will experience God in a whole new way today and would leave different than when they came. Have a great encounter with Jesus. Amen. That was for you guys. That's a good way to start, isn't it? I want to talk to you about holiness. Holiness is something I believe wholeheartedly in. And not because we belong to this Nazarene denomination, because if holiness was created by the Nazarene denomination, then it's not worth much. Right? Even if we go back to our Wesleyan roots some 200-whatever years ago, if it was Wesley who created holiness, then it's still not worth much, is it? But I believe holiness is biblical. I believe it's part of God's character. And then even in Genesis, I will make them in my image. And so I believe holiness is part of what God has created you and I to live into and to be. And he even says something like, be holy, therefore, because I am holy. And so holiness is not a fancy word that we came up with. It's biblical. Now, holiness is also not just a commitment that we make. Because if it's just a commitment that we make in our... I mean, don't get me wrong. We do make commitments, and commitments are good and right, and we live into this, but it's not just a commitment, because, you know, I can make a commitment to Weight Watchers. Holiness is part of what we were created to be. And so I want to talk to you for the next couple of weeks about holiness. And today, I know... It says up there, Deuteronomy 6, in really small letters at the top, but don't worry. We're going to read it, and you're going to like it. No. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll start in the verse 4. And before we get going on that, if you look in your Bibles, you'll probably notice that the word Lord is either capitalized or in all caps or something like that. Have you seen that? That's there as a reminder, as a like a proper name. And it actually should remind you that the name that goes in there is Yahweh. Okay? So when I read today, I'm going to just put in the word Yahweh there. And you'll know when you see the word Lord, we're talking about God, Yahweh. And then later on, we'll talk more in-depthly about that. So Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel. Yahweh, our God, Yahweh, is one. Love Yahweh, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. When Yahweh, your God, brings you into the land, he swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive gardens you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget Yahweh. Amen. Who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear Yahweh, your God. Serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of other peoples around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. This is called the Shema passage. Shema means to hear or like listen up. When my children were smaller and, you know, yelling at them didn't work, but you want them to hear, we would get down real close and get eye to eye with them, right? Now listen, here are the important things you need to hear, right? We are going into a glass shop. Put your hands in your pockets and don't let the, hear, O Isaac, your father is speaking, right? you know what I mean? Just this week, our Emily has got her learner's permit, so we'll give you some time to leave the parking lot. And she's doing a fine job so far. We drove all the way around to the Metro Center the other day, and she did well. But right at the beginning, hear, O Emily, the words of your father, when I tell you to push the brakes, you know. So this passion, listen up. And God, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is speaking. Yahweh has words for you to hear, and you need to hear them. And not only just hear them in your ears, but hear them in your heart. There's a passage that talks about David when he was a young man, and he went to go fight. Or actually, he didn't go to fight. He was just told to go feed his brothers and make sure they had food. And he ended up fighting Goliath the giant, right? And there's a little passage in there while he was, you know, talking with all the guys. Hey, how's it going? You guys are fighting and doing, you know, swords and spears. It's got to be really cool. I brought my slingshot just in case you need backup. I'm here, the little brother, right? Right? But then Goliath comes out and he speaks these gruesome words. And he's not just speaking, hey, you dummy head kind of thing. You know, he's outright defying God, Yahweh, right? And there's one short sentence where it says, and David heard it. And I'm certain that that passage means not just in his ears, because the way the whole thing plays out, and if you look at the geography of where this was, they were in a valley and there were hills up, and if you've ever been in a hillside, it echoes. You ever been there and you can talk and everybody hears everything, and that the valley of Elah where that happened was like that. Of course they heard it. Everybody heard it. They've been hearing it for 40 days. And in fact, Goliath was replacing their time with God with his shouts and defiance against God. But David, who was new and fresh, he says, and David heard it, which meant it affected his heart. Something happened within him, his spirit. And he heard, wait, listen, it's not okay to talk against God that way. And that spurred him on to this moment of hey, how can you guys let this happen? And God says, hear, O Israel. Now, the professors and the scholars call this the Deuterohistoric pattern. I wrote it down because it's hard to say five times fast. It's in Deuteronomy. But this piece of scripture creates a pattern in the life of the Israelites that shapes them, molds them, spurs them on to be. And then what you see after this passage of Deuteronomy is you see that there comes a time when there's kings and there's good kings and there's bad kings. And part of this pattern that we see is the idea that, listen, if you listen and hear and do, you'll be blessed, right? If you forget, destruction. Are you with me so far? And as we are going through the history, and we see that there's a period of kings, and there's a couple of good ones right off the bat, and blessing after blessing unfolds upon them, and the bounty of the Lord is good and right, and the people are doing well. But then we get some kings that aren't so good, and then we get some kings that are real bad, and then destruction, right? So bad that it even gets down to captivity. They're yanked out of their place, that the land is desolate, that not even people will pass through that territory. Have you ever been downtown and you know you're in a place that you ought not to be? Glenn was there this week. He got a flat tire down by the airport, waiting on AAA or whoever it was. USA, I didn't want to mention bad names to anybody. But 3 hours waiting in the midst of downtown. And if you haven't been there, there are places down there you ought not to be going when it gets dark. Right? This is all of Israel turned into that. Israel, which used to be the center point, the hub of all traffic of all the known world. If you had to get from one place north to one place, Egypt, south, or whatever, you pass right through Israel. And now it's so bad because it's desolate. You don't even pass through there. You go around. We're going to go the long way this time. Right? And see, and that created this pattern that we see, except there's one problem. After all that, there's a guy named Job who was upright and did all things right before the Lord, and still, right? Life wasn't so good there for a while. So it's a good pattern, except for sometimes. Except sometimes not all destruction in our life is caused by our forgetfulness. And so as we get through there, we see this Yahweh who is listed in all this scripture. And I want to talk a little bit about Yahweh. Yahweh, we find the first of this showing up right around when Moses is pulled out in the desert into this area of this burning bush, right? And God says, listen, I want you to go in and lead my people out to a place where I will show them, right? And Moses says to this burning bush, God, after all, he grew up in Egypt where there is a God everywhere, right? You know my old joke, it's not funny anymore, but here a God, there a God, everywhere a God, God. They got alligator gods, they got frog gods, they've got tree gods, they got sun, moon, star gods, they got one for everything, right? And he says, well, which God should I say is telling me to do this? And he says, I am. Right? Yahweh is how that translates. He says, I am. I'm it. Right? The I am is, I am God. I am the God. I'm the only God. All that other jazz that you see out there, there's no others. It's me. Me, myself, and I. Or me, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Or, you know. I am Yahweh. And that's where Yahweh comes from. Now, there's this talk about Baals, right? Now, Baal isn't like just one god. It's a whole series of gods, kind of like Egypt. And here they are in Canaan, and Baals is this new, like, system of series of gods, of actually gods of culture is what they are. And so, now listen, this is pre-modern times. And so when, let's give me an example here. So if here we are in church today and it's a beautiful day outside, you can see the sky and just little wisps of nice little clouds, you know, Did you see this? Did anybody see the sunrise this morning? Whoo, colors galore. Beautiful day, right? And so if we were in here today and all of a sudden monsoon shows up. Not usually in January, but a monsoon shows up and it just dumps with lightning and floods the parking lot and the streets are going on. And, you know, today we would go, well, shoot, did nobody look at the Weather Channel? But pre-modern history would go, somebody did something wrong. And it's probably somebody who's up front that did something wrong, right? What did you do or how did you sin to anger God, right? And so what would happen is in order to cover all your bases, you would have a Baal or a god that would also have favor or fortune in your life, right? And so there would be a Baal of health, a Baal of fertility, a Baal of weather. And so just in case God didn't come through, you know, Yahweh, we always had this other one just in case. And this is, and part of this passage says, listen, no. That's not how this works. And if we're going to apply this kind of talk to today's society, I'm afraid we're almost all of us are idolaters, including me. I mean, if God was the one that said, I will provide for you. Even in the desert, when they were going through the desert, they provided manna, right? And of course, you know, well, what if it doesn't come tomorrow? Maybe we ought to have a savings account of manna jar. Are you hearing me? Just in case tomorrow the manna doesn't come, we should have an extra jar out there of savings manna. But what would God do to that? He would spoil it and destroy it. And why? Because he was training up a people. Trust in me. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. And, of course, many of us, a few years back in the 2007-2008, got terrified when the stock market crashed and half of your retirement went away. Your manna account made you really, really nervous, didn't it? And even your retirement account can become a god in your life. I've got it all stocked away. I'm saved up. I'm good. I can retire and I can play golf every third day. And you feel comfortable. You feel okay. I've got it stocked away and I'm okay. Or our health, which is falling apart with some of us, isn't it? Sometimes I think twice about getting down to pick something up because it takes twice as much to get back up again, right? When I go up the stairs, this knee clicks on every single step. Click, 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 every step. I think we need to move to a house with no steps. That'll solve the problem, won't it? See, there was a guy named Abraham who God comes to and says, hey, listen, Abraham, I'll be your God. Let's be friends. I'll be God. You'll be my people, and I'm gonna use you to show. I'm going to bless through you. You'll be a blessing. Not only am I going to bless you, but because I bless you, you'll be a blessing to the whole world. He says, now listen, get up and go. The problem was he didn't say where. You know what I mean? He just said, get up and go. Now, my wife is very patient with me on many occasions. Sometimes not. But if I just, you know, loaded up, I had a moving van, hey, hun, there's a moving van in the front, we're going to go. Her first question is going to be, other than have you gone crazy, but, right, where, right? I think that would be a fair question to ask the Lord, right? Where? He says, go, and I'll show you. And if I said that, you know, I don't know. God's going to show us. There might be a conversation in our home, right? Would that be right? Now, what did the Lord say to you about where we were going? Well, he didn't exactly say where. Well, maybe we ought to just stay here until he does say where. And after all, Abraham had a thriving business that provided economically for his household. God says, meh. You know, like, I have a good friend who's Jewish. He goes, meh. We went and saw, what was that? Oh, Jumanji. And the Danny DeVito plays the old man character. His answer for a lot of things is, meh. It's funny. Get up and go, and I will provide for you. God has created us in such a way that he wants us, he yearns for us, he asks for us to trust in him with everything. Did you catch on that that's what the gist of what James was saying to us at tithe time? When you give tithe, it's a spiritual act of worship saying, I trust you with my finances. Mm-hmm. See, when I go out and work, I work hard. I sometimes I come home and I hurt, and it goes, what are you moaning about, huh? I'll keep it to myself. I'm sorry for moaning. Oh. When I was young, I fell right on my back. And when the weather gets cold, that spot aches a little more, you know? Anybody have those? Two or three of them? Yeah, the whole side over here said, yep. But God asks us, listen, I'll be your God. Remember, I'm gonna provide for you. And he says, remember. He says, remember this. He says, write it everywhere. Put it on your doorpost. Put it everywhere. When you wake up, talk about it. When you lay down, talk about it. When you're walking along during the day, talk about it. Talk about it. And listen, when I was going to school, I knew the Pledge of Allegiance. We got up every morning and we sit right at the very first hour of the class. You stand up, they put it over the speaker system. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. You find the flag in the room. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America. Do you guys remember this? Yeah? I don't know if they do that anymore? They still do? Some still do? I'll bet you when we lived in Ohio for a short while, there was even a pledge to Ohio. Yeah. And I don't remember it anymore. The great state of Ohio, it went along with the United States one, but I wonder, do my children know our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? Do my children know the Shema? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall serve the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and him only shall you serve. You know, has anybody here had Coca-Cola? You know, that marvelous nectar sent from God, Coca-Cola. I have drank far too much of my share of Coca-Cola that I can no longer have the sugar kind. I think you're only allowed so much sugar, and then it just, your body gives up on you. So, you've had too much. Forget it. Diabetes now. No. You ever heard of Coca? Anybody heard of Coca-Cola? Yeah. Let me see your hands. Anybody heard of it? Then why on earth do they still put commercials on for that? Everybody's heard of it, right? Why do they put commercials on? To keep reminding you. And even if you see that commercial, especially in wintertime with the polar bears and the, right? You want to have a Coca-Cola, don't you? I start shaking. Oh, withdrawals. Oh, Coca-Cola, right? You need to commercialize your children towards God. Do you know what I mean? Keep reminding them every day that God is God and He's the only God. God is the one who loves you. God is the one who's going to provide for you. God is the one who's going to give you the gifts and abilities and talents that you have so that you can get that job out in the world and earn that money so you can build a life for yourself. And it's all because God has poured Himself into you so that you can be His and He can be yours. And you need to do that with your children. And start when they're young. Because if you start when they're young and keep doing it, you are ingraining in them that God is God. And you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your soul. With all your... And with all your... And who else do you serve? Nobody else. If you come across a Jewish home, usually you will find this right at their door. And oftentimes they'll kiss it before they walk in, and it's a reminder. You know what's on there? Can you read that? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you shall write my words upon the doorpost of your house. So they put the right on the doorpost of every house so that it's a constant reminder. Every time you go in and every time you go out, there it is. There it is. And I wonder, I have a business, Bruno's Builders, and general contracting, and we build stuff. And on occasion we get a phone call from an elderly person who wants something done. Paint the house, you know, or something. And always, without fail, it's happened every time. While you're here, would you mind putting together my table? Or would you mind, while you're here, could you move those boxes from this room to that room? Because it gets hard when you're old. Most of the time, it's a widow. And the other day, I caught my guys grumbling about, oh, we got to go over to so-and-so's house. Every time we go, there's always, and I paused. I said, wait, listen. I read in a good book somewhere. That's my joke that they always know. I mean, that's the Bible. Right? That we're to take care of widows and orphans. And so if she asks you to build a table or move a box or whatever, we're going to do it. And listen, don't you worry about it. I'll pay you your hourly rate. If it takes you an hour to build that table, I'll take care of it. You'll get paid no matter what. So I don't want to hear any complaining, and I want to see a smile on your face when you do it. And I'm trying to teach even my workers. The Lord will provide, and I'm not worried about it. Somebody was asking me today about, Bruno's Builders, and I said, listen, all the years I've been doing this, which is coming up on 25, 30 years, and some, how long have I been doing Bruno's Builders? A long time. But I have never advertised once. It's all word of mouth, and it was a deal I made with the Lord from the get-go. All right, I'll do this business. You provide for me. And I'll do all my best to honor you in all that I do. I'm doing all right. Actually, the Lord's doing all right, providing for me. And Isaac keeps asking for food. I don't know where he puts it all. He's so skinny and eats more than I do. I haven't told him yet, but eventually your metabolism catches up to you. My children have a roof over their head. They have food on the table. They have electricity that powers their phones. And the Lord provides. And he's taught my wife to be a fantastic learner, and she's gone to med school. Wow. And heals people, and she calls it a ministry, if you can believe it. Mm-hmm. It's not just a doctor's office. It's a ministry. Mm-hmm. And we made a huge leap of faith and moved her into her own building and their own place, and it was very stressful. We may have had a few words with each other over our own stresses with each other. But we chose to have faith in God. And you know what? The business is doing fine. And people are getting healed. In fact, one of my workers got deathly ill, and she says, send him over to me. I know how to take care of that. He comes back. Your wife pokes me again with all sorts of needles and stuff. But I feel better. In fact, this time, it's a chronic problem he has. He says, this time, I didn't have to be admitted to the hospital. He keeps bringing, like, gifts because she doesn't charge him for it. He needed some help, and she helped him, and sometimes she does that. And so he keeps bringing, I know this is just but it's homemade jelly. Do you think your wife would like this? Yeah, she probably would. Would you take that home and give it? I said, no, you have to give that to yourself. Oh, man, I got to go in. He said, yep, go in and say thank you, you know. But she's able to minister to folks through the gift of healing. And if you ask her, I think she credits the Lord for all that. And I could count many of you who have a business or something that you've had or have had or still have or whatever. And I've heard you say these words, the Lord has provided for us. I love it when it's harvest time over at the Hillers. They have a tree with walnuts on it. And Penny brings me a Ziploc bag. She goes, here, Pastor, here's the first fruits. They're the best tasting nuts you've ever had in your life. And I think it's because the Lord blessed the Hiller household. So with my whole heart, with all that I am, I will be cautious to not make idols of the cultural things in my life, which may mean not worrying about the stock market or where my retirement fund is doing or whether I'm wearing the most fashionable clothes. Because I think we all have a tendency. The great sin of the Israelites was what? Forgetting God. I will not forget God. With my whole heart, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and all my mind. I mix it up a little bit, but it's all there. Mm-hmm. And him only will I serve. This is how we respond in holiness. By being all that God created us to be, trusting in him, in all that we have, do, see, speak. Pastor James is going to come with the communion today. And when we take communion, when we take communion together, this is a sacrament, a holy sacrament. And we do it on the first of every month, the first Sunday of every month, And it's not just, we don't want it to just become a habit on the first Sunday of every month. I do it on the first every month because I can remember that. You know, it helps me remember. If I had my druthers, I'd do it every Sunday. But then, again, I don't want it to become just habitual for you. But when we take communion, it is the act of connecting with God. See, ever since the beginning of creation, God created you and I so that he could dwell with his creation. And when that got broken, God has always been working towards being connected back with his creation. And we just came through the Christmas season, which is Emmanuel, God with us. God is with his creation. Because of what Jesus has done, by giving his body, by breaking his body on the cross, his body was torn for us. He now makes it possible for us to be with God. And it's Jesus' blood, his pure, righteous, holy blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And see, it's through Jesus that God sees us now. And so together, when we take communion, we'll tear off a piece of this bread which represents the body of Jesus Christ, and we'll dip it in the juice, which represents his blood. And when we eat it and it goes into our body and all through us, we are becoming one with Jesus Christ. And now God can see us holy, pure, and blameless through Jesus Christ and now be with his creation. Amen.